Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. This is your week six primer, and we're heading into a tough stretch here. With we got buys, we've got a lot of injuries this week, which we'll talk about. And I think this is a time to just continue to sort of try and grind out as best you can. It's going to be tough. So I think there's a couple of things that we should think about in terms of going forward. So one, I think you're thinking about buys. And so you're thinking about buys upcoming and sort of the implications of those. So your buys in week seven, the Bills, the Cowboys, Jacksonville, the Chargers, the Vikings, and Pittsburgh. What I think you could think about some of those situations, like there's an ambiguous backup spot in with the Chargers. So you could float Larry Roundtree, for example. You might be able to float. There's not a ton of other situations. Like if you've got a Roschier Ballage or something, maybe you can float him. Those are a couple of situations to watch for. I'll say the other thing too is where I really think this comes into play is if you have like a rogue share of Divine Ozigbo, for example, or you've got like a shot that you took on Ty Montgomery, you're not going to have to worry about the week six injuries to the teams that are on a bye. So everything should be relatively stasis going into week seven. And if there's a injury to someone in week six that has a week seven bye, right? So if there's an injury to someone this week that has a bye next week, that's one where you can say, all right, that's not as big of a deal. So they're going to have 2 weeks to recover, and who knows if your guys the injury again. So if it's an ambiguous situation, I think you have that to think about. So you're moving off of ambiguous situations going in that have week seven buys. So those are your situations like, that have week six buys. So those are your Divine Ozigbos. Probably Ty Johnson at this point, like unless it's really deep. I think those are situations to move off of, and then off of. Probably some of the, I don't have a great feel with the Chargers about who the backup is, for example, like maybe if you've got like a rogue Ballage share or something like that, I think you're moving off all of those guys. The other thing I would look to do is you could potentially move some of those shares onto your backup quarterbacks. So this is a good time to hedge your quarterbacks. So if you have a spare share of Ozigbo, there's no sense in holding it. Cut them, pick up, pick up the backup quarterback for example, if you're Stafford's backup, pick up the backup quarterback, Walford, right? If you've got Bridgewater, pick up Drew Lock. Like those sorts of things I think you can definitely try and do and try and think about and really look to sort of optimize. Again, you're trying to move 2% bets to 3% bets, or 3% to 5%, right? Those are you just trying to continuously sort of uptick over and over again, thinking about your odds. So those are all things I'm thinking about and looking at. Okay, now let's look at your practice reports here, your injury reports coming into week six. Lots of stuff here. Fortunately, at quarterback, there's not a ton of mystery going on, so that's a good thing. Really, your only issues, it looks like it's going to be Tua playing. Again, remember that game is in London and it is a 9:30 Eastern time start. So just remember to have lineups and everything set. I go through a process that's basically a couple of parts. It's really three parts. So I do an initial lineup set on Thursday night and then I sort of run it down. Maybe I won't go through everything, but I'll sort of try and do a glance down on Saturday night, just, checking some stuff, see if there's any last minute trades I want to throw out or anything like that, but sort of having a general sense of what I'm going to do. And then on Sunday morning, it's from 11 to 1 as I just lock in. Yeah, I start setting lineups and then I wait for any inactives or anything. And by the time 12:45, 1 o'clock hits, I'm pretty much done. So those are all things that that's basically my process on these. So again, there's a lot of them this week that I think are going to be relevant. Again, checking late night / early morning for your Schefter Rappaport news dumps as well, I think is important. All right, so just some notes here. There's, again, I don't think there's anyone that's actually of concern here. Lamar Jackson didn't practice on late in the week because he was sick, but he should be good to go. Daniel Jones, he's good to go. Concussion. He's one that, like, I don't know. I think if you have a shot at, like, for example, I don't know if this gets it done, but if you have Alex Collins post Chris Carson being put on IR, can you package Alex Collins, another piece, together, you know, sort of that ancillary thing to the guy that has Drew Lock, if Drew Lock's like a third quarterback, something like that, to get a shot at a quarterback? That's something I really I think is warranted, and use some creativity, and just remember, if they're under pressure right now, sort of use that to your advantage. Okay, so Murray, limited. He should be good to go in terms of he's a full practice on Friday and not even listed. So we can move on from the quarterback position. There aren't any really issues. So if you look down in terms of the running backs, you've got Chubb, who is out. It looks like Hunt is going to be good to go, according to reports. And then you've got Carson on IR. One thing I will say, D'Ernest Johnson, just remember, Cleveland plays week seven. They play Thursday night. So that's a quick turnaround. So, again, if you have a tweak or something from Hunt, and that's a Cincy that is a Cleveland-Denver game. So if you have and it's at home at Cleveland. So if you have a situation where, you know, you've got an open roster, but you have availability to roster D'Ernest Johnson, it makes a lot of sense. If Chubb tweaks an ankle, or if Chubb is still out, he didn't practice at all this week. So that gives me a little bit of pause. He's going to be ready 3 days from now, you know, four days from now, I guess. That gives me some pause, and then if something happens to Hunt, you know, if it's an ankle tweak, something like that, and all of a sudden, like, you could get a spot start at home, touchdown favorite for D'Ernest Johnson. So really sort of optimize that spot, a high level of optimization going on there. Again, just trying to think, get a little bit of edge on your opponents. I don't see necessarily one on the other side of that. Like, there's not really a clear backup situation for Denver, for example. You've got Gordon, you got Javonte Williams rostered and all that. So not really anything super notable to worry about there. All right, Barkley out, Carson to IR. No IR for Chubb, just out this week. So I would monitor that. That one's a cautious one. Out for Christian McCaffrey, limited DMP. That's not the direction you want to be going. That's not good. So just sort of watch that there. Not great news at all. One thing that did pop up on some of the practice reports here late in the week, it does look like there was a DMP for Jacobs on Thursday, which I'm not sure the nature of, but he's not listed with any sort of injury issue. So should be good there in terms of being ready to go. Okay, so that's pretty much the situations there in terms of guys that we think are going to be sort of out. So, again, Hunt is going to be good to go, which is nice to see for sure. Your other guys that were limited earlier on in the week, so DMP limiteds. So those are Gibson. He goes DNP limited. So I think he's probably good to go. Melvin Gordon was limited on Thursday, Friday, but that should be good to go. Damian Harris is another one that was limited on Thursday. He was also limited on Friday. I think he's probably good to go. And Madison went DNP limited full practice. He should be ready to go. The one other note here in terms of Mixon, he had a weird one. He went limited DNP limited. So I'm not sure what his status is. I think he's going to be an overnight watch in terms of that ankle injury. We're also watching for Pirine's situation there with the COVID-19 stuff. So just be careful on that. Looks like Damian Williams probably out as well. Okay, so that's the situation. Jamal Williams also limited DNP limited, so he should be ready to go there as well. Some of the guys that were limited basically throughout the week that I have little concern about, Swift limited all week, should be good to go. Aaron Jones limited all week, should be good to go. Justin Jackson, same. Maybe we'll get some clarity there in their backup situation. Zeke, similarly, so he should be good to go. And Chase Edmonds, I feel good that he will go. So that's good to see there. Those guys all ready to go. So again, Cook not listed. So that's notable in terms of the both Madison and playing Cook issues. All right, turning to the wide receiver position, Kenny G out. So that offense is going to be without Barkley and Kenny Galladay. I think notable though, you're getting back, it looks like you're probably going to get back a bunch of guys. So you're probably going to get back Sterling Shepard. You're probably going to get back Kadarius Toney should play. Darius Slayton should play. So I think you're sort of trending in the right direction generally with those. And again, Kenny Galladay is going to make his own theory in the Analytics Dynasty. It's the Kenny Galladay theory, which is, you know, when a team lets you walk, be damn careful because they kind of know about the degenerative condition, which, you know, he's not looking great in terms of some of his health stuff. Okay, it looks like Tyreek Hill is one that we're probably going to need to watch for here. Tyreek Hill, he went DMP limited, so that's interesting. He's listed as questionable. Justin Jefferson went DMP limited and not listed. So I think that's a ready to go. I would just pay attention to that. It was an ankle. But it looks like he's not listed, and he's got to be listed if there's any issue. So I think that's notable there. Hopkins is played without practicing earlier this year. He went DMP full, so he's ready to go. He's not listed, so that's good. That's also good. And then you've got Devontae Parker out. Allen Robinson. Was limited here on Friday, so he's one we're gonna have to watch for there. I would pay attention to the overnight news on him, although you probably don't want him anywhere near your lineup, which is crazy, wild, and unfortunate. So again, if you're catching the drift that there's a lot of these injuries here, it's just there's a lot of them. Curtis Samuel out, Sammy Watkins out. It looks like Thielen should play. And then one last one. You have Mike Williams, who DMP. I have little faith that he's going to play. So we'll watch there for that one, but expect him to be out and potentially make a pivot to maybe someone like Jalen Guyton, for example, if you need a roster spot. Also worth noting, Metcalf did miss some time earlier in the week. He went limited DMP limited, so I expect him to play. Probably should be okay to go this week. Chase Claypool, good as well in terms of he was limited earlier in the week, but is full this week, you know, full on Friday, and should be ready to go here heading into the weekend. So good news there. Again, he'll be a beneficiary without Juju. Juju, no official IR designation yet, but I expect it. So I expect it probably Saturday. So I'd make that move. That's one we're waiting on just to create some additional roster spot there. McLaurin DNP on Friday. That's one where you're like, oh boy, that's not good. So we'll see what the status is on that one. I read a report that he was like gonna, you know, oh, it's fine. Like he's fine. He's gonna play. Not any issues. I'm not sure I buy that. So we'll see. AJ Brown, Julio, both full participants early in the week. They are the Monday night game. Sutton, full participant. Again, Chase Claypool on the good to go track for this week. I think we're watching Tyreek Hill, and then limited practices, non-injury for Devontae Adams earlier in the week, and then full. So good to go there. James Washington, good to go. So if you need a stream or something like that for wide receiver position, James Robinson, maybe take up some of the snaps for Juju Smith-Schuster's absence. All right, looking to the tight end position. I think the big news is interesting that you're getting the Ertz trade. Again, he can't play this week, so not to worry about that. We'll see. You know, Gronkowski, obviously, he played Tampa, played Thursday night, so it's not an issue. But I'm interested to see sort of what his status is. Like, he should be kind of rounding back into form four week seven. If he's not, like, I'm not sure why I didn't IR him, you know, because then he's coming up against a week nine bye. I don't know. Like, it's an interesting situation. You hope to see him potentially next week, 10 days off. Like, they pulled the ripcord a little bit longer for his parachute coming back in. We'll see. I think that's going to be a key monitor and interest to us. Limited Thursday, Friday for Hockenson. I expect him to probably go and be fully active and hopefully a full participant. It'll be nice to see. So those are pretty much the situations there. I think one thing of note also in the Arizona game, you do have COVID stuff with Cliff Kingsbury out. So it looks like their quarterback coach also out. So I haven't seen a report yet on who's going to call plays or anything like that. No change in the actual line itself, but it's went from 49.5 to 48.5. So just down a half a point on their implied team total, down to 22.5 from 23. So nothing too major there, but that's notable. They're a 3.5 point dog. Miami, 2.5 point favorite. Again, that game is in London, so we'll watch for that. Jacksonville expected for about 20.5 points is their implied team total. Houston is playing at Indy, and that is a 10-point road underdog there for Houston. They're the lowest implied team total of the week. Indianapolis is a 10-point favorite. I'll just say, there's virtually no good decisions to make this week for survivor pools, at least from teams that I have eligible. I was going to take maybe the Rams against the Giants. But again, I hate that too because it's on the road. Like, the only good one is Indy, and God, it's going to be hard to pull that trigger. Kansas City and Green Bay are already taken. So again, anything over a touchdown is off the board. It's going to be a hard situation here. I have to pick Indianapolis, and just not watch the game is going to be probably the ultimate play. Green Bay, 5.5 point favorite, 44-point team total at Chicago. I would watch for, there does appear to be some weather maybe impacting Cleveland, like the upper Midwest, I guess, would be the easiest way to describe that. So just be careful there. Again, obviously, Indy's indoors. But Chicago, I don't know sort of the wide-ranging nature of it, but Chicago is in that same region, too, if it's more of a front-type deal going forward. Baltimore, just be on the watch. That's the sort of range you're looking in that area. Pittsburgh, but again, that's Sunday night, so... maybe that's a little bit different of a weather implication, but I'd sort of watch for the Cleveland, Baltimore, Chicago, that those games. Just pay attention to the weather and that. Washington also plays a 1 o'clock game at home, so just sort of monitor those games for the weather. I'm not sure the exact nature of it. I'm not going to play meteorologist here on AOD, but I would just pay attention to those things. Okay, also pick 'em, basically. It's a 1-point road favorite for Minnesota at Carolina. 48-point team total, so that's up there. 54.5 total for Kansas City and Washington. 6.5-point road favorite for KC. That's interesting. With Washington, you know, you're worried about some of the injury stuff there. Is a potential spot for someone like Adam Humphries in play would be something to potentially think about there. If you need with that team total, do you need an Adam Humphries type situation? Do you need a Deami Brown type situation? He was limited all week, but should be good to go. So a couple of names there, I guess, in sort of deeper down the line, or maybe some DFS play. Chargers at Baltimore, which should be a really fun game. 51.5 total for the game. And you have Baltimore favored at home by 2.5, 3, depending on where you're looking. This is a game. Again, you're going to be without Mike Williams. So, you know, Jalen Guyton, deeper flyer if you absolutely need it. You know, Keenan Allen's probably in there. Jared Cook's in there. Jared Cook could be one of those guys you get in there and a flex play and like tight end premium, something like that as well. Sammy Watkins out. Rashad Bateman should be back, I think. That's the rumor, at least. We'll believe it when we see it with these injuries. I'm not sure I'm going to roll them out. We probably have better options, especially with the amount of spot start running backs available this week to us. But it'd be fun to watch him for sure. So I think, again, that's one where it's, I think, Latavius Murray as well. Is flex-ish, and the Chargers have gotten beat up on the ground, so that could be a spot for Latavius Murray in a home high total, you know, 3-point favorite. So you like those numbers. All right, Detroit and Cincinnati, 3.5-point favorites for Cincinnati. Detroit's at home. Just feels like a Detroit game, but the number's pretty high, so that's, you know, it's I would say moderately high, so that's good there. And you know, Hockenson's playing. I think that you're getting your typical pass funnel there for Detroit and Cincinnati. Again, we'll see what their full passing game looks like. Again, watching the running back situation there for sure. The Rams at the Giants. Again, it's good that Daniel Jones will be back. So that's, you know, we're excited certainly for that. Again, I'm going to make some plays at him this week because I don't know, I get the feeling, I listen to other people. I have a distinctly different opinion than what I perceive to be the market on him. And I think he's really taking the corner as a passer. So those things like, all right, he's grown as a passer. He's a really good runner and he's doesn't have TD variants. So he's being held down. Like, all right, like, yes. Let's do this. Let's buy this. That's a successful profile. So I don't know, I could whiff on this one, but the cost isn't high. So I'm really interested by that. Again, you're a home underdog, like a big one too. Like should be plenty of throwing there and a potential spot for maybe a breakout game. I don't know. We'll have to see. All right, the next one up is Arizona, Cleveland. I did mention this one earlier. The team total has been tracking down this week. It hasn't really moved. Like I said, I was doing my work on this in the afternoon on Friday, and then that was before the news of Cliff Kingsbury being out. And so I have rechecked the numbers. I'm recording this late night Friday, and it hasn't moved really. It's 49, 49.5, 48. And a half, sort of in that range, is where it was 49.5, then sort of moved to 48.5, 49, somewhere. I mean, so it's down to half a point, insignificant. So interesting. That don't know if that makes you feel good when you have COVID that you make no impact on the line. I don't know. I hope Cliff's not looking at the Vegas lines. 3.5-point favorite for Cleveland. Again, that's a decent spot for Hunt, for example. Again, I think Dearness Johnson makes a lot of sense. He's getting him on rosters. Denver and Vegas, one of the lower numbers, 44 of the week. We'll see there. Denver, 4-point home favorite. I'd be really interested to see what Vegas does with this. This could be one where they win by two scores or lose by two. So we'll see. All right, Patriots with a big number, 50.5. That's the third largest of the Sunday games and the fourth largest of the week there with Buffalo and Tennessee going Monday night. You do get 23.5-point team total implied for the Patriots. I think that's interesting as a home play. Again, is that a spot where if Harris is healthy, like that could be interesting? Is this still a buy-low situation on Jacoby Myers? I think that's an interesting one. So I'll be looking to make some potential offers out there for Jacoby Myers as well in the next coming day leading up to Sunday. Pittsburgh and Seattle and what should set football back decade or so. Seattle's just getting carved to pieces on defense, but we'll see if Pittsburgh has any sort of capabilities to actually exploit that. 19-point team total for Seattle is the second lowest of the week, it appears, behind Houston. So for what that is worth, no Chris Carson, Alex Collins, DJ Dallas are definitely adds. I did say this in the group me chat earlier today, but I think it is, it's definitely DJ Dallas, D'Ernest Johnson is an add as well. And I would probably do them in that order. Jerick McKinnon as well, I think is worth a deeper, you know, a deeper add just because I think you're getting a one injury away crack behind a starter, right? Already an injury way back. So I think those are all interesting spots to potentially hit. And last but not least, you have Buffalo on the road, 5, 5.5, 54, 53 and a half, one of the higher team, one of the higher game totals of the week. And you have Buffalo as the second highest, tied for the second highest team total of the week with the Kansas City Chiefs. So both of those notably on the road. So interesting stuff there. I think Buffalo owes Tennessee after last year's, all the stuff last year that happened with all the COVID delay situation. And then they got, then they beat them. Just like, I think Buffalo owes them one. So I'll be interested watching that game quite a bit because that could be, as a Bills fan, that could be a fun watch. All right, that'll do it. Until next time. Again, remember, if you're looking, I have the Analytics Dynasty Rebuild edition out on the site. So go ahead and check that out. Check your emails probably as well. That would be in there most likely. All right, well, I'll do it for this edition of the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. Until next time, continue to raise the variance. We'll talk again very soon.